Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fit Body Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. Do you know anyone who seems to just look at a weight and get jacked? Or on the other hand, maybe someone who seems to be doing everything right and does not see any change or any response? Well, today I want to talk about what may influence someone's response to training. Specifically, we will talk about satellite cells. So there's variation in how people respond to training, and the recommendations that the literature supports and that I talk about all the time are based on averages. But the truth is, not everyone will respond to the same dose of exercise. The things that account for variance in someone's response are genotypes, so their genetics, baseline fitness, training history, nutritional intake, psycho-emotional states, between session recovery, age, and sleep. Genetics do indeed account for maybe like 50% of the variance that you'll see with training. And although it seems unfair that some people can get away with less and see better results, it is hopeful that the literature does not seem to support that there is any such thing as non-responders to exercise. I actually used to believe that I was a slow responder to exercise because I did a lot of exercise, but I never really saw significant changes in my lean mass. Not only that, but a lot of exercise really did not feel good for my body. It made me feel broken down and depleted. Now, granted, the quality of my workouts were questionable. I was doing lots of boot camp workouts and combination moves and burpees and kind of searching for the burn. But nonetheless, I thought I was doing all the right things, and therefore I was just a slow responder to exercise. And what I've since learned is that I actually don't build muscle as slowly as I thought. I'm not as slow of a responder as I thought I was. I just wasn't training or eating right. For one, I wasn't eating enough protein. I thought that I had a high protein diet, but when I started tracking it, I found that I was only eating about 60 to 80 grams of protein per day, which is only about half the amount that I should be eating to gain muscle. And I think this is really common. Many people will say, I'm not seeing results. I know that I'm eating high protein, but unless you track it, you might not know for sure how much protein you're eating. Because the reality is, if you're not hitting that 0.75 to 1 gram of protein per day per pound of ideal body weight, you won't see the same results no matter how you train. So that was the first thing, is that I just wasn't eating enough protein, plain and simple. And then secondly, I was not structuring my training and I wasn't training close enough to failure. I was overusing muscles. I wasn't recovering. I was doing combination moves and just kind of searching for the burn and trying to get sweaty and burn calories, but I was never really taking my lifts very close to failure. So once I started training close to failure and making sure that I had enough protein, my results were noticeable and I gained about 8 pounds of muscle in 1 year just from dialing in those things. So I think before you categorize yourself as a slow responder, be sure to check out both of those things and give it some time. And you may find that you aren't as slow to respond as you thought. But when it comes to building muscle and thus changing your body composition, there are certain things that work for everyone. Just some people might respond faster than others. And this is the reps framework that I came up with and I've been using lately, and it can really help guide you in determining if you're doing the right things for results. So reps, the R in reps is repetitions, which means getting close to failure in 30 reps or less. Remember that the burn is not enough. If it feels hard or if it burns, that isn't enough. You actually have to decrease your lifting speed. So continue to complete the repetition until you have a decrease in velocity or you start to really slow down. And you'll see us demonstrating this in Evlo classes all the time in case you need some examples. The E in reps is exercise selection, choosing exercises that are properly mechanically loading one muscle group at a time. Remember that combination moves are fun and hard and all that, and they're totally fine to lace in, but they probably aren't mechanically loading any one given muscle group with enough stimulus to create change and adaptation. And then the P in reps is protein, so eating 0.75 to 1 gram of protein per ideal pound of body weight. And then the S is structure, so structuring your routine to include working each muscle 1 to 2 times on non-consecutive days and make sure that you're taking recovery days. So this is the framework that, again, works for everyone, regardless of your age, regardless of your genetics. This is backed by research, and it may take someone longer. Someone might respond quicker than someone else, but I can almost guarantee that if you follow these steps and you give it enough time, you will see improvements in lean mass. But have you ever seen someone on social media? Social media tends to be the culprit, or maybe you know someone personally who is not following these things at all. And yet they're seeing results. They're seeing muscle gain. They're looking jacked. And you're like, I know for a fact that they are not following this reps framework. What gives? So maybe oftentimes they're training with really low load. So they might be doing Pilates or bar type workouts that aren't stimulating muscles in that 30 reps or less framework. Or maybe they're doing complex combination moves and not targeting really much of anything with significant load. Or maybe they're loose with their diet and not eating a lot of protein. Or maybe they're working the same muscle groups each day and they don't seem to be affected by overuse. First, I want to say that I've worked with many fitness professionals like this as a former physical therapist. I've worked with all types of fitness professionals too who are not following this reps framework. Yoga instructors, sculpt instructors, boot camp, bodybuilders, CrossFit competitors. I've worked with all of them and they're not necessarily following this reps framework. Something within that reps framework is missing. And what I see so frequently is that they feel good for, you know, years, maybe even a decade or longer, and the ball eventually drops. And the results of a poorly structured routine catch up to them and they wake up one day and they kind of wonder why their body hurts all over, even though they've been doing the same thing for years. And from the outside, they look strong and fit and they could go kill it in a workout, but their body hurts all over. And it's because they've slowly accumulated inflammation and joint stress that eventually one day they wake up and the scale tips and they start to notice these symptoms in their body that weren't there before. Additionally, I will say that we have to be cautious about what we see from influencers online. And I will say, living in LA for 2 years, I can tell you that people online are not always honest. Fitness influencers that preach their own programming, but then they're doing extra workouts on the side, or I've heard of some that even have their own personal trainers. So understanding what the literature is saying is really important so that we can look at social media from an educated lens and we can understand what works and what may just be marketing. That said, there are people who are honest and they're like, I'm not following this reps framework at all, and yet I'm seeing results. Why is this? Why do some people tend to respond to almost any form of exercise, and are the rest of us doomed? So let's go over some literature. We'll start with one study that looked at 585 participants over the span of 12 weeks. They all trained the same, and they found that by the end of the study, some participants increased the size of some of their muscles by up to 10 centimeters, while other participants in the same study doing the exact same routine saw zero improvement. Another 10-week study of untrained college females found that there are high responders and low responders to the same program. All the participants improved in whole body lean mass, deadlift strength, satellite cell number, myonuclear number, but to different degrees. The high responders had greater increases in lean mass and strength overall, and the low responders had less increase in lean mass and strength overall. Again, they were doing the exact same program, exact same time. Why is this? Well, satellite cell response may be a contributing factor as to why some people can do the exact same routine and yet respond differently. So satellite cells are a type of stem cell located outside of a muscle fiber that play a crucial role in muscle regeneration, growth, and repair. So after a workout, satellite cells become activated and contribute to the repair and hypertrophy process. High responders experienced a significant increase in satellite cell number after resistance training, where low responders in this study had less of a significant change in satellite cell number after training. This could mean that the recovery and repair process was better in the high responders, maybe partially due to this satellite cell response. As I talked about before, the satellite cell response may be genetic, but genetics are only 50% of the equation. The other 50% is up to us. It's sleep, nutrition, emotional health, and more. So although genetics aren't the whole picture and you have a lot more control than we realize, genetics are a reality to how someone responds to exercise. Someone's natural satellite cell response could be a reason why they may be able to kind of really do anything and see results in muscle growth. For example, some people may do certain forms of training, maybe like Pilates, really low load training where they're not really ever getting close to failure in less than 30 reps, and yet they're jacked and they have lots of lean mass. Could these satellite cells be a factor in this? Although I couldn't find a study that was conclusive on this question, high responders to exercise may be able to use lower loads and still see muscle growth. Again, they may be able to do really a lot less than what the average literature suggests and still see benefits. One study I looked at in particular looked at muscle growth with different loads. So they used 20% one rep max, 40% one rep max, 60% one rep max, and 80% one rep max. Each of these groups took their sets to failure. So if you're like, what does that mean? 20% one rep max is very light loads. And these loads aren't supported by the research to result in significant muscle growth. An example of what 20% one rep max would look like for me would be using a 2-pound dumbbell for side lying shoulder abductions. Usually I'm using like a 5 or a 10-pound dumbbell for that specific lift. So my 20% one rep max, yours will be different. My 20% one rep max for that specific lift would be 2 pounds. So that's a really light weight. So what I did is I did a little experiment. I was like, okay, how many reps do I have to do with my 20% one rep max weight to get to failure? So I laid on my side and I grabbed my 2-pound weights and I started counting reps. And I got to tell you, I got to 100 and I just stopped because I was like bored and I was nowhere near failure. And I was like, okay, this is going to take a really long time for me to get to failure with this load. Whereas 40% of my one rep max for the same lift would be like 5.6 pounds for me and would definitely require less than 30 reps to get close to failure. 60% of my one rep max for that side lying shoulder abduction would be around 8.4 pounds, and 80% of that one rep max would be around 11.2 pounds. Remember, these are not standard numbers. Your weights are going to be different. Your 40% of your one rep max is going to be different than mine, and it will be different for each lift. I'm just using this as an example. But what this study concluded with these different loads, with this 20, 40, 60, and 80% loads, was that the 40, 60, and 80% groups had nearly identical gains. The 20% one rep max group had about half the gains, but still some small gains nonetheless. But remember that that 20% group took their lifts all the way to failure, which logistically would take a long time. Remember, I got to 100 reps and I still wasn't near my failure point. And additionally, if you're doing that many reps, you might start to accumulate a lot of discomfort. It's going to be pretty uncomfortable. So most people stop at really low loads before they reach anywhere near failure, which may be one of the reasons why training with super low load, even though it might burn, doesn't really result in much muscle growth. But if someone has increased satellite activity and they can see muscle growth with less, they may be able to use these really light loads, not take them close to failure, and still see results. Again, it's not really supported by the research, but that doesn't mean that there aren't outliers that are seeing true benefits from this. So if someone is claiming that they're seeing significant muscle growth from these lighter loads, that may be working for them, but I would consider them the exception to the rule. I think also we need to remember that just because you can see someone's muscle mass because they're lean enough does not mean that they necessarily have a significant amount of muscle mass. A lot of supermodels, you know, they don't have a lot of body fat. And so you can see all of the tissue that's underneath the body fat, but that doesn't mean that they have a lot of it. And remember, on social media, we're generally seeing the people who adapt very well and very quickly. We're generally seeing like the best ones. So that's not really a figure that I recommend comparing yourself to. You're better off following what the research is currently supporting instead of using a, well, it worked for them, it worked for me, I want to look toned like them approach. So that's super responders and that's the exceptions and may explain kind of why someone may be seeing results with applying exercise that is outside of this reps model. So these studies show that there does appear to be a difference in how people respond to training, but if you are a slow responder and you're not a super responder, have no fear. You can still see results from applying the reps model. the REPS framework. Because what is potentially a more meaningful question is not who responds and who doesn't, but how much time does it take someone to see a response? Luckily, for those that aren't super responders like me, the literature shows that when studies are taken longer than 6 months, the difference in high versus low responders starts to level out and everyone in the study benefits. One study of both men and women over the age of 65 showed that everyone in the study benefited from resistance training in regard to lean body mass, fiber size, strength, and function when they extrapolated their program out to 6 months. So it may not happen as fast for you as it does for someone else. It may just take a little longer, but it is worth it. Now, high responders don't have all the perks. What I thought was interesting was I came across a study that showed that high responders may gain faster, but they may also lose faster. A study trained the participants for 10 weeks and followed their training with 6 weeks off. So they trained for 10 weeks straight, and then they took 6 weeks off. So they were looking at the increases in muscle after 10 weeks and then after their 6 weeks off. At the end of the training block, they categorized the participants into high, average, and low responders, with the high responders having the most significant increases in muscle size and strength. And then after the 6 weeks off, the high responders saw a significant decrease in muscle size, while the medium and low responders didn't. So this indicates that high responders may have more of like an easy come, easy go type of response to exercise, where average or low responders may take longer to gain muscle and then they might lose it at a slower rate. Granted, this was a really short study and longer term studies would be needed to be more confident in this statement. But I just thought that was interesting. There's some hope for us medium to low responders. So just to summarize all of this, there does seem to be a difference in how people respond to the exact same training program. Satellite cell activity could be one reason why some people tend to respond faster or with less effort than others. If you are a super responder and you seem to respond quickly to training, I still recommend applying the REPS framework to ensure that you're setting yourself up for sustainable results and you're not slowly wearing your body down. But even if you aren't a super responder, if you give your training enough time and apply the REPS model, you will see great results. It just may take a little longer. I hope this was helpful. Thank you all for listening. We will see you all next week. Same time, same place. Bye for now.